Begin the current daf himself, the Shabbos daf kuf test. We begin two lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, discussing the ruach ra, the evil spirit that is on a person's hand when he wakes up in the morning. That is, the entire body is covered in tumah, but in the morning it all goes and is condensed just on one's hands. And a person has to be careful not to touch any orifices, any area on his that opens up into the internal part of his body, his eyes, his nose, his ears, or any part which, let's say, blood was taken out from because of the danger of this ruach ra. So the Gemara continues on this. It says, Tanya Linda Braisa, Reb Nosson Oimer, Bas Chayrin Hizu, that this spirit that rests on the hand in the morning before you wash Netilas Yadayim, that you wash Negavasa, is a free spirit, so to speak, Bas Chayrin, the daughter of freedom, and that as she reigns, she can do whatever she wants. She's particular until he washes his hands three times, and that is until you wash very well your hand three times, she doesn't leave and she stays, and therefore there's that danger of touching food or in the open areas, orifices, crevices in the person's body. That's why it's important to wash one's hands three times in the morning. So the Gemara says, what is the tikkun for this? What can rectify if she caused damage already, this spirit, this Bas Chayrin? Amar Yechanan, Puch Mavre Bas Melech. This type of a cream that's called Puch, that can remove the danger that was, the harm that was caused by the daughter of the king, which is the term of what this Ruach is called. She's called Bas Melech. If she harmed one's eyes, if you put this into your eyes, this Puch, that will remove the harm that this Bas Melech caused. Upeisik has at him, and also this Puch, this mascara, not only does it get rid of the danger, the harm that was done by this evil spirit when one touched one's eye before Netilas Yadayim, it also stops the tears from coming. And it also increases hears on one's eyelids. Tanim Hoch is similar in the Brayis to the same idea. This Puch, this cream that is that's put into one's eye, that removes this harm from the Bas Melech. Upeisik has at him, and it stops the tears. And it increases the hears on the eyelids. So now the Gemara says, however, there are other things that people had possibly used or wanted to use, that the Gemara says that they don't help. You can't utilize these things for refuah and using in for these ideas that we just spoke about that Puch would help. Vama ma'uk vama shmul olin im behem mishum refuah. That olin, that's the name of this type of grass, has no component of refuah, and that is if you're going to eat it to lighten up one's eye, that's not going to help because it doesn't heal at all. Similarly, Amar Rav Yosef, kusbarta, coriander, in behem mishum refuah, there's no aspect of refuah, and obviously related to Hilchos Shabbos also that implies, because that's where our dafma is speaking about, that if there's no component of refuah, there's nothing wrong with eating on Shabbos, but also it won't help for the eyes. Amar Rav Sheshes, kishus in behem mishum refuah, hops also have no component of refuah. So the Gemara comments that Amar Rav Yosef, kusbarta, one of the elements that we spoke about, coriander, Afilididi, Rav Yosef said, even for me, that I am blind, cautiously, it harms me, it hurts my eye if I'm going to eat it. As we said, that there is no component of refuah, rather it even causes harm, it hurts one's eyes, and therefore he's saying, even me, that I'm blind, it still pains me. Similarly, Amar Rav Sheshes Gargira, in reverse, regarding what's called rocket, Afilididi, even for me, that I am blind, Mali, it is helpful. That is, even that I'm blind, it's such a good thing, this food item called rocket, that'll help me. V'amar ukva amar shmul, kol mini kishus sharu. We spoke about hops. So he says, all types of hops are permitted to be eaten on Shabbos, as we learn in the Mishnah that says, kol ha'oichlam oichel adam l'refuah. All food items a person is allowed to eat for refuah, because it's not obvious that you're doing anything wrong. You're allowed to drink a hot tea with honey, although that you have a sore throat and it's healing, because regular people drink a hot tea with honey. So therefore, hops, which are not obvious for refuah, you're allowed to eat them on Shabbos. Lavar mitruza, except mitruza, because no one eats those unless if you need it for medicinal purposes for refuah, and therefore it's obvious why you're taking this. No one eats it, obviously for healing, and therefore truza, that although it's a type of a hop, is forbidden to be consumed on Shabbos. Amrav Chizda, shrika tavya, basting a roast, and that is to smear it with oil and lightly roast the egg on the piece of roast when it's hot. Shari, that's permitted to do on Shabbos, and as long as it's not bubbling, it's not hot, boiling hot, so that's going to cook this slightly roasted egg and the oil. And we don't say that it's considered misakin, that it's fixing, that it's correcting something, which is the topic we were speaking about in the previous daf regarding misakin, that you're fixing something. Putting on, basting the roast is not considered fixing it. Pipui bei, however, whipping up eggs, that is, you rip it or you whip it around in a plate, that would be usur to do on Shabbos, because that looks like that you're preparing it to put it into a pot, which obviously you can't do on Shabbos because that's going to be cooking. So that is a problem. It seems like you're doing something, an act that will be for an act of isur. That's why you're not allowed to whip the eggs on Shabbos. But to baste the roast, you're allowed to do, because it doesn't look like you're fixing the roast. You have a good roast, you're just adding something else. So the Gemara brings a story related to that first halacha, that the base of the Ze'iri Avdilei, that the wife of Ze'iri made this, that is, she basted a roast, she had a good roast, and she put on these eggs and this oil on top of it. She did this for Lechia Bar Ashi, who was a Talmud of her husband, and he didn't eat it. So Amr Lei, L'Rabach Avdilei V'Ochel, he says, for your teacher, which is my husband Ze'iri, I did this for him. I basted the roast on Shabbos, and he ate it. V'Had Lo'Achle, and you're not going to eat it? What's wrong? Why aren't you eating it? So the Gemara explains why he didn't eat it. Because Ze'iri was going according to his opinion, to which his Talmud Chibur Rashi didn't agree to that part of opinion. The Ze'iri said a person is allowed to put clear wine and clear water into a strainer on Shabbos. That is, a strainer is something that when you put it through, it has all that sediment or the lees, it stays inside, so that you're left with clear wine or water that comes out the other side. However, since this is clear wine and clear water, you could do it in a sifter, but in a chayshah, you have to be worried. So therefore, what you see from that statement of Ze'iri is, al makivin de mishtati hachi, since it could be drunk that way. In other words, it's fit to drink as it is, even before it's sifted, because it's clear. So lav mida kavod, you didn't do anything, you're not doing anything of misakin by sifting it. So achanami kivin de mishkal hachi. Here also, since it could be eaten this way without basting, it's a good piece of roast, you don't need an extra topping of putting on the eggs and the oil. So lav mida kavod, therefore you didn't do anything by basting it, and that's why you're allowed to do that in Shabbat. That's why Ze'iri, her husband, ate it. However, his Talmud didn't agree to that concept. He said that sifting is forbidden on Shabbos, even if it's clear, because you're first doing a malacha. Here also, the fact that you're basting it is misakin. It is doing a tikkun, and therefore that is usur to do on Shabbos, as misakin of when you're fixing a keli. Same thing would apply even to machalim, to food items too. So V'amar Marukva, we mentioned Marukva on the previous staff, and we continue with another statement from him. That Marukva says, Misha Nagfa Yodoy Ragle. If someone bangs his hand or his foot, that is, he stumbles and he gets a swelling. So what do? You get this big bump. Sumsa Bayai in Venachesh. You can reduce the swelling with wine, and you don't have to be concerned as if it's an Isra of Rafua on Shabbos. So the reason is because it doesn't help that much. It's not such a significant healing aspect. However, on this, the Gemara asks, Ibayluhu, Cholomai, what would be the halacha with vinegar? Vinegar is a much stronger thing. Would that maybe be considered a therapeutic activity and not just something that's soothing like it would be with wine? So I'm Rav Hill Ravashi, Kavinabi Rav Kahana, Ami, when we were by this, the Yeshiva Rav Kahana, he said, Cholomai, no, vinegar you can't. Because vinegar is a really strong item, and that would be obvious that it's for healing, and that would be also in Shabbos. So another qualification in this halacha, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, but the people of Mechuzah, kivin mefanki, since they were a pampered people, they were more sensitive, and anything that was a little bit strong was already harsh for their skin, and it would make it shrink because they're so delicate. Afil chamri nami masilo, even wine, which is not such a strong ingredient, which we said generally on Shabbos you could do because it's not so strong and it's not such a healing item, for them even that would be usur. They can't put on wine because wine would heal them also. It would make their skin shrivel up, even on something that's not as strong as vinegar, even though it's wine. So Gemara brings a story related to these halachas. Ravina iklu lebe Rav Ashi. Ravina went to the house of Rav Ashi. Chazia d'drichi lechamra agaba dekar. So he saw that a donkey stepped on his foot, which definitely hurts. V'yosef katsamas lebechal, and he was going and he was reducing the swelling with vinegar. So Amalei, so he said to him, leisavu lamar lohodam Rav Hil chalaloi. Don't you hold to the halacha that we just mentioned before in the Gemara, that vinegar is usur? Because that's obvious that it's being done for a food, and a food is usur on Shabbos. So Amalei, gav hayad v'gav haregel shanis. He says, wait, the top of the hand and the top of the foot is different. You're right, you can't do refuah, and putting vinegar on the swelling is usur on Shabbos. But the top of the hand and top of the foot is a very harsh wound, and it's dangerous, and therefore you can be mechal Shabbos for any sakana. Ikadami, some say a different version with the same idea. Chazi de katsamas le bechamri, he saw that he was reducing the swelling with wine, not with vinegar. So Amalei le sovela mar lohod amar Rava, says, don't you hold of this what Rava said, that you're right, usually wine you're allowed to. But hani b'nei mechuzah kivin mefanki afel chamri nam maslu, that these people from mechuzah, from the city, these wealthy people, there was opulence there, that that since they were delicate, that even wine is also going to heal them, and therefore that would be usher also. Umar nami hamafanik, you're also a delicate person. For you, even wine is going to be usher, so why are you reducing the swelling with wine? So Amalei, it says, gava yadver gava regloshan, you're right, even wine would be usher for a person like me, but the top of the hand, the top of foot is different. And that's why here it's going to be mutter. The Amar Avad Bamasna, Amar Rav, Gava Yad V'Gava Regel Harein Kamake Shachol. The top of the hand, the top of the foot is like an internal wound, and therefore Mechal L'Nas Shabbos. That's why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. You're right. This is a Chil of Shabbos, and because it is an act of refuah, but I'm allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because it's Sakana. That's why it's important to know the halachas, to ask a Rav when certain times a certain thing you think, what's the big deal? Because certain halachas are considered Sakanas Nefashas. And therefore, he says, in this case, I'm allowed to do refuah, even though it's an isser, because of the sakana of the top of the hand or the top of the foot. Also, the Gemara continues with halachas of refuah. Tan Rabban, reichtzim b'mei gerar. A person's allowed to wash himself with the waters of gerar, even though they're a little bit salty, because it's the people normally, they bathe themselves there even during the weekday. And if it's not obvious that you're doing it for refuah, although salty compounds have a healing aspect to them, but since people always bathe this, they're allowed on Shabbos, you're allowed to also bathe there, at least before the gzera of bathing, which there wasn't also yet, because of the component of refuah, that's not a problem, because it's not obvious that doing refuah, just like you're allowed to drink a hot tea, although it might soothe and heal your sore throat. Similarly, you're allowed to bathe b'mei chamsin in the waters of chamsin, b'mei asya in the waters of asya, or b'mei tveri in the waters of tveria, avalo b'yam agadol, not in the great sea, which the Gemara later is going to explain why that's different, avalo b'mei mishra, and not in water where they have flax that's soaking over there, because no one bathes over there because it's smelly and the water is not so clean. Rather, only time a person would soak over there and his body is for refuah, for healing, because it heals that type of water that has the flax inside of it. So therefore, that you're not allowed to bathe in on Shabbos, because that's obvious doing for refuah. But lo b'yam shel sedaim, you're also not allowed to bathe in the waters of sedaim, because they're very salty, like Yam HaMelech. And you can't bathe there, and people don't bathe there, only for refuah, and therefore it's obvious why you're going and bathing there is for refuah, again, which is usher and Shabbos. So the Gemara asks Reminu. It seems to be a contradiction from another Braisa, where the Braisa says, Reichsim b'mei Tver, you're allowed to bathe in the waters of Tver, u'beyam ha'gadol, that you are allowed to bathe in the great sea, avaloi b'mei Mishra, but not in waters that you have flax soaking in, avaloi b'yam ha'shel sedaim, and not in the waters of sedaim. So we have one contradiction. Kasha Yamagadl, Yamagadl. We have one breast that says that you're not allowed to bathe in the Yamagadl. And the second breast says that you're allowed to bathe in the Yamagadl in the Great Sea. So I'm in B'yechon and Loi Kasha. B'yechon says it's not a contradiction. Because this breast that says that you're allowed to bathe in the Yamagadl, that was Remeya. That is Remeya that he says that all the waters, all the seas are the same. And that there's no difference between the Yamagadl and other waters. And therefore, just like by all waters you're allowed to bathe in, same thing applies for the Yamagadl. But this Braisa says you're not allowed to bathe in the Yamagadol. That was Rabbi Yehuda, that he does differentiate between the Yamagadol, between the Great Sea and other waters. That's why he's the one that says that you're right, all waters you're allowed to, but the Yamagadol not. As the Gemara says, where do we find this machlek? It's as we learned in the Mishnah. Kol hayam kemikva. All the seas, all the waters on the sea, have halachic status like a mikvah, like gathered water. That means for all the halachas of mikvah, that is, there's two types of purifying waters that a person could purify themselves in. Either a mikveh, which is gathered water, or a ma'ayin, which is a spring. So all the seas, what status do they have? It has the halach of a mikveh, and not the status of ma'ayin of a spring. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk in Bereshit, in the beginning of the Torah, ula mikveh hayamim karyam, that Hashem called the gathering of all the waters, what he called that? He called them seas. Now we call that a yam. We get the name from Hashem when they gathered the waters. The mikveh, we see that when it's gathered, that's called yamim. Divrei Meir, Meir's opinion is that all the seas have halachic status of mikveh, of gathered water. And that is, what is the difference between the mikveh and the ma'ayim? What do we care if it's called a mikveh or a spring? Either one is matar. So there's two differences. That is, a spring is kosher for a zav, which is a person that has a certain type of a tumah that comes out of his body for him to immerse himself in. Also, only a spring is kosher for spraying the taking the bird and taking in some water and spraying that out on the mitzvah. Because by ma'ayin, by a spring, it's called ma'im chaim, live water, because that's where it's coming. It has a source of water that it's coming from, that it's live, and that also could be used for the mechatas, which is for the paraduma to spray on someone, because all these psukim say that it has to have ma'im chaim, live water. By a zav, it says, v'rochatz besor b'ma'im chaim, with live water. By mitzvah, it says, El klicheres al ma'im chaim, on live water. By the mechatas, it says, ma'im chaim el keli, you have to have the live water in the vessel. So that's one halacha that you only have regarding a spring that doesn't apply to a mikveh, because a mikveh is not called Mayim Chaim. Another difference is that a spring is mitar tmeim, impure people that immerse themselves in the water in the spring, even when it's flowing, because that's the way a spring goes. It continuously has movement. It's always flowing, and that's kosher by a spring. However, a mikveh, which is called gathered water, that's only if it's gathered. But if someone would tovel in a mikveh that's flowing, that's not going to be considered a tefillah until you have it together, gathered in one place. And therefore, what Rameyer is saying, his opinion is that a mikveh is not kosher for the immersion of the zav or spraying the mitzayir or to use it for mechatas. And he's saying that all the seas have a halachic status of a mikveh because the pasuk calls it a mikveh. So the Rameyer says, the Yama Gadol and all the waters are all going to be considered a mikveh. And that is, again, what's the difference when you go into the mikveh? That is, you're going into the seas, it can't be flowing. If it's flowing, then it won't be a kosher tefillah. And same thing applies, that you can't use it for the mitzayra or a zav, because it's not considered mayim chayim, it's not considered a spring, rather it's called a mikveh. That's Rameyer's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Yam HaGadol kemikveh. The great sea, and only the great sea, has the halachic status of a mikveh, because what is the pasuk calling a mikveh? Only the Yam HaGadol, the great sea, because that's what the pasuk is talking about over there, by the mice of Rishon, by the creation of the world, when all the waters were gathered in the primordial waters, then there was only the great sea, because the land was separating, it was putting all the waters in one place. That was the Yam HaGadol, the great sea, which is Machlek is exactly what the Great Sea is, but it's the largest body of water that surrounds the world. As we know, that 2/3 of the world is water. That's considered the Yam HaGadol, and therefore that's considered a mikveh. So therefore, he says, but it says Yamim. It says that Hashem called the gathering of the waters the seas. So he says, Yamim. It doesn't say, the pasuk doesn't call it seas in a pluralistic term, which sounds like not just the Yam HaGadol, but all the seas. Because although it's going only on one, on the Yam HaGadol, that's because the Yam HaGadol has many different waters of all the seas mixed into it, because all the rivers come into this great sea. So although it's talking about only one sea, the great sea, and not all these different small little seas that are around the world, because although it uses pluralistic, it's because it's saying because they all come into it, so it has from it. But it's really only going on the Yam HaGadol. And therefore the other seas will not have a halacha of a mikveh and can have a halacha of a ma'ayin. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol hayamim, all the seas, including the Yam HaGadol, they are mitar in bezeichlin. They make a person pure even when it's flowing. And that is, it will have a halachic status of a spring for the fact, for the component of when it's flowing, that it will purify a person even if he's going in the water that's flowing. And the reason is, because although the pasuk calls it mikveh, but the derech of the waters of the sea is to flow. And therefore, since that's the derech of it, so then that's going to purify, just like the derech of a spring will purify even when it's flowing, because that's what a spring does, it flows. So therefore, all the seas will be metahar for that component. As we said, there's two components of a spring over a mikveh. One is that it's called mayim chayim, and that it'll purify a zav and a mitzayir because it needs live water. Another one is regarding the halacha of, yes, can you tovel in it when it's flowing? For that, you could even by the seas. But, however, but it will be not viable to use for the zav or the mitzayru, and to sanctify the mechatas, which is the paraduma that's sprayed on the person that's tameh, because they are not considered mayim chaim, live water, because the pasuk does call the mikveh, which is gathered water, and that's because, as Tosis explains, and the reason is, why would we make this difference? On the one hand, the pasuk calls it mikveh. So therefore, it should have the status of mikveh for both. So why is Rabbi Yossi saying that for one component, we consider it like a spring, but for another one, we do not consider it like a spring? So Taisa says, because the sea waters are constantly moving, and therefore they are flowing. So we're going to say that it will purify as it's flowing, just like all the other rivers, and just like the spring water. So therefore, for that component, we'll say that if a person immerses in the sea when it's moving, it will be kosher. But live water, mayim chamin, it's not, because it's not flowing. It doesn't have a source. It's just the water that was always there is the water that's there. And therefore, it makes more sense to say that what the pasuk is calling it mikveh gathered is to say that it's possible for the component of mayim chamin of live water. But for the other component of immersing it, when it's moving, for that it will be kosher, because the derech for it is to move, and therefore for that it will be kosher. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, what the Gemara's resolution was, that Reb Meir that did not differentiate between the Yama Gadol or other seas, he says there's no difference. And therefore, just like all waters are permitted to Tevel, and so the Yama Gadol is including that also. Reb Yehuda, that he was Mechalik, he says that there's a difference between the Yama Gadol, that one is called a Mikvah, but all the other ones are considered possibly a Ma'ay in the spring. So he differentiated. So he's the one that says that the Yama Gadol is the one that's Aser, and all the other ones are Mutter to Tevel. To which Tosfos asks, which is basically what the Gemara's question is going to be, is that what is the comparison to this machlokes, to the discussion before, which is talking about refuah, which has to do with what type of body of waters are obvious that you're doing it for healing purposes, which it depends on possibly the salt compounds that's in there that's healing. What would that have to do with this halacha talking about mikvah, which has to do with tahara? L'chaya has no relation, which is similar to the Gemara's question. Maskevlo Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, on this resolution of the stira of the question about are you allowed to immerse in the Yama Gadol on Shabbos or not, I'm going to continue on to Amid Beis, Eimer de Pligi le'inyat Tumah v'Tahara. When did we have this machlik has been Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda and Reb Yosi? That's regarding the halachas of Tumah and Tahara because of the pasuk that we brought down before regarding the interpretation of calling the seas. Is it on all the seas, on the Yama Gadol, when we consider it the term of mikvah? And Rabbi Yossi says, depends for what purpose is it called a mikvah, but nothing to do with the salt content in it. It's just regarding what we're calling it a mikvah. Le'inyat Shabbos, but regarding the halachos of Shabbos, which are not totally in that pasuk, regarding if it's a mikvah or not, that doesn't make a difference. It's just if it has to do with the component of refuah, of healing, mishamlu, did we ever hear that Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda would differentiate or argue regarding if it's considered refuah or not? They weren't talking about this. So what's the comparison? So the Gemara says, you're right, that can't be the reason of one of them saying that it's Aser or Mutra in the Yama Gadol if he differentiates for a whole different halacha of Tumah v'Tahara between Yama Gadol and the others. El Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Le'kasha, different teretz. The one that says that it's Aser to Tevel on the Yama Gadol is talking about that if you stayed there a long time, and if you stayed there a long time, that's Aser, because that's obvious why you're sitting there and soaking it in. That's for healing type of purposes. We have to sit there and it has to enter your body. The Bryce says that it's Mutter to bathe yourself in the Yama Gadol. That was talking about you didn't stay there a long time. Rather, you washed yourself off, you got out. That wouldn't heal a person. It's not enough to heal the body. That's why that one said it's Mutter. So the Gemara asks on this pshat, but my kim to the best brayse, how you talking that, what's the second brayse talking about that says that you're allowed to bathe in the Yama Gadol? You're saying the loyish tayy, they didn't stay there a long time, so that's obvious not doing it for healing purposes, because else you would have to sit there and linger. So the fact that you didn't stay, that's why it's mutter. But I the loyish tayy, I feel a bit mishunami. If the second brayse says that it's mutter by the Yama Gadol, that's why it's mutter, so then even the water that the flax is soaking, and even that one should be mutter. And that brisa says, however, flax water is aser, because d'artanya, because we learned the brisa, rechtzim b'mei tver, you're allowed to bathe yourself in the waters of tver, u'b'mei mishra, and in water the flax is soaking, u'b'yam shel sedoim, and in the waters of sedoim, ava'afa pishyesh lechatad m'reish, and that's even if you have sores on your head, which is almost obvious that you're doing it for healing purposes. Why is that mutter? So the brisa tells you, when did we say that it's mutter to bathe yourself even in the flax water, even in the waters of Sedim, which have a lot of salt? If you did not stay there a long time in the water, so that looks like you're just cooling yourself off. It doesn't look like you're doing it for healing, because or else you would stay there. But if you stayed a long time, then it would be forbidden. That's why we always say that the flax water and the water of Sedim and the Yam HaMelech are asa. However, what you see from this brisa is, if you didn't stay there a long time, even flax water is mutter. Now, so how could we say the second brisa that says the Yama Gadol is mutter is when you didn't stay there a long time? That's why they differentiate from the first brisa that says that it's aser, because that's talking about that you did stay there a long time. But if you didn't stay there a long time, then even flax water should be mutter. And yet that second brisa says that flax water is aser. So therefore the Gemara gives a different terence. Eli Yama Gadol, Yama Gadol Akasha, we have the final resolution for the why one brisa says the Great Sea is aser, one says mutter. Because ha biyafin shaboy, that the brisa that says that you're allowed to bathe in the Yama Gadol was talking about in the good parts of the sea, which is clean and that people bathe there even during the week time. So therefore, it's not obvious that it's being done for refuah. Ha baram shaboy, but the one that says you're not allowed to bathe there is talking about in the foul parts of the Yama Gadol, where it's obviously doing for refuah because no one goes to bathe there during the weekday. And therefore, both of them are talking about that you stayed there a long time. Because if you didn't stay there a long time, even in the bad parts, you're allowed to, because you're just cooling off. So we're talking about that you stayed there a long time. But the one that says that you're allowed to is because people always bathe there during the weekday because in the clean parts. The one that says that's aser is because since you're going to the foul-smelling parts, therefore there, no one goes there. And if you're doing it, it's obviously doing it for refuah. And similarly, the flax water, regarding the other flax water, is also not a contradiction. That is, on the one hand, we have a brice that says that you're allowed to bathe in the flax water. And however, the previous two brises that said that you're not allowed to bathe yourself in the flax water, as we said, the difference is obvious, as the third brisa says, hadishtai hadaloishtai. The two first brises that said that it's forbidden to bathe in the flax water, that was talking about that you stayed there a long time. So then it's obviously doing it for a fool. The third brisa says that you're allowed to bathe in the flax water. That means that you, as the brisa itself said, that you didn't stay there for a long time. And therefore that's mutter, because although it's flax water, but since you go right in, you come right out, so it looks like you're just cooling off. It's not obvious that you're doing it for refuah. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah, which continues on this theme of refuah, of doing healing, therapeutic activities on Shabbos. Ein oichlin izvain b'Shabbos. The person is not allowed to eat izvain, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that is, on Shabbos. And the reason is, lafisha inimai chabrim, it's not a type of food item that healthy people eat. And therefore it's obvious that you're consuming it for refuah. Like if a person is taking a certain type of a medicine, no one eats that for breakfast, lunch, or supper, or for snacks. It's obvious taking it for refuah. Therefore that's also to take on Shabbos. Aval oichel hu es ye'ezer b'shreisa ababra. However, you're allowed to eat your ezer, and to drink this ababra, because a lot of people eat and drink these things even when they're healthy. So therefore, although it has healing properties, which many food items have healing properties, however, since regular people do eat it or drink it, so therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. As the Mishnah continues with the same idea, that kala oichlin oichel adam refuah. All food items, which are food items that people eat as food, a person allowed to eat for healing on Shabbos. V'chal mashkin shayisen, you're allowed to similarly drink all types of drinks, although it will be helpful for you and will be healing. However, since a regular food and drink, you're allowed to. Chutz mimi dekolam mekoisikorn. However, that's except for palm water or for a cup of sterility that makes a person sterile. That is, these types of the kaisi karin has two roots of the word ikarin. One is the, like from the word akara, that means a woman that's sterile, and another one is from the fact that it comes from ikri yirokas, from the roots of herbs and from these different vegetables that they take it and they grind it down with different types of spices. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this is. So those two items, the palm water and this cup of sterility, which is what a woman drinks that she shouldn't have children anymore. The reason why you can't drink them on Shabbos is because they're generally used for jaundice, and that's for the certain types of sickness that a person shouldn't have. And that's not a type of food, a type of drink that normally healthy people drink, and therefore it's obviously doing it for a food, which is also. However, although we just said that these two items you cannot drink on Shabbos, av shaisu who made kum litzamai, but you're allowed to drink this palm water free of thirst. In other words, if you're not sick, and you drink it, so you're drinking it because you're thirsty, then you're allowed to drink it. And similarly, b'sach shem in the karn shalalifah, and you're also allowed to smear this oil of this sterility, not for healing purposes, and that is, it's only usr when it's obvious that you're ill, and you're taking it for healing, that's usr. However, if you're not ill, and you're drinking it because of your thirst, then you're allowed to. So now the Gemara begins to elaborate on the Mishnah. And the first thing we said was, you're not allowed to eat izavain in Shabbos. So the Gemara brings a similar word and differentiates between the two of them. Amar Yosef, Ezev. The word Ezev that's written in the Torah, which is fit to use for the Hazah that's sprayed on someone that needs to be sprayed in the Torah, that it says in the Torah has to be used for Ezev. It's the type of thing that grows in the ground. That is called what we call Avarta Barhemik. However, Ezevyon, which is the word used in our Mishnah, although it sounds the same, that's what we call Avarta Barhinig. So these are two different items. One is Izavoin, one is Ezav. Ezav that's written in the Torah is Avarta bar Hemig, and Izavoin is Avarta bar Hinig. So just to know the difference about what it's used for, if you want to use it to use it in the thing that has to be sprayed, that's one of the processes of Tahara in the Torah, that's Ezav, and the other one is Izavoin. Ula says that the Ezav that's written in the Torah, that's what's called, as Rav Yosef said, that that's Avarta bar Hemig, rather that's Mar v'chivar, that's white sage. As the Gemara brings a story to this, Ula ikla lebei Rav Shmuel by Yehuda. He went to the house of Rav Shmuel by Yehuda. Aitu lekamei marav chivya. So they brought in front of him this white sage. Amar, as his pshat that he just said before, Hainu ezev dechseb ba'arai. So that is the ezev that was written in the Torah. If you want to know the avodah that they did in the Beis Hamikdash, this was the item that was used. A third pshat the Gemara brings, Rav Papi Amar shumshuk, that the ezev that was written in the Torah is shumshuk. And Amr B'Yemi Medivti Kabasei Rav Papi Mestabe. The third pshat of Rav Papi makes the most sense. That is what the Ezev in the Torah was. The Tnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Ezev Shloisha Klochem. The Mitzvah of Ezev is something that has to have three stems, and Ubehen Shloisha Gevaylim, and it has to have three capsules, three different shoots coming out of it. And that is the reason why it has to have three stems is because it says in the pasuk Aguda, a bunch. And the Gemara learns elsewhere from Gzeir Shava that Aguda is, it cannot be less than three. So therefore you have to have three stems of it. And also has to have, each one has to have three capsules coming out of that stem. Therefore the Gemara says, if you look at these three items, Shumshik is the one that has these components that Ezav has to have, and therefore it makes most sense to say that the Ezav was Shumshik. So the Gemara says, Lamai Achlile. Now this that we spoke about in the Mishnah, which is why we introduced this discussion of Ezav and Ezav Yoin. Ezav Yoin is something that we said you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos, because it's not something that healthy people eat, it's eaten for refuah. So the Gemara asks, what is Ezav Yoin eaten for refuah that we're saying it's us on Shabbos? The Gemara said, Lekuchyani, that it's for intestinal worms, worms that are inside one's intestines. And that helps to take care of these worms. But my achla, with what do we eat this Ezav Yoin? So the Gemara says, B'sheva tami uchmata, with seven black dates. Mimahabi. Now the Gemara asks, well, what does the sickness of Kukyani come from? So the Gemara says, Mikimcha desa'ari, the cholof Allah, arbon yamin. It comes from barley flour that had 40 days that had passed by from when it was grounded down into flour. After 40 days, that can cause, if a person consumes the barley flour in such a state, for intestinal worms. So now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. However, the Mishnah said, "Avol oichlu es yezer," but you are allowed to eat your ezer. That is, although that it provides certain healing for the body. However, since healthy people do eat it, it's not obvious for refuah, and therefore it's not aser. So Gemara says, "My yezer, what is it?" Gemara says, "Pusnak, it's pennyroyal." L'may achlo, for what type of sickness do people eat it for? So Gemara says, "La'arkisa," that's worms in the liver. "B'may achlo," with what do they eat it with? "B'sheva tami chavarta," with seven white dates. And the Gemara asks me, "My havi, what does this sickness of the worms in the liver come from?" It comes me umtsu umaya aliberakani, from consuming raw meat and water on an empty stomach. That is, if you put meat on coals and you eat it before you eat a real meal on an empty stomach, that causes it to come. Or umibisur shemein aliberakani, or from fatty meat on an empty stomach. Umibisur detur aliberakani, or from ox meat on an empty stomach. Or memguza aliberakani, or from eating nuts on an empty stomach. Umigiri deruvia liberakanum, and from eating the fenugreek stems on an empty stomach. And umishtamaya basraya, and all these different things that we spoke about, if you eat one of these things before eating a real meal that's on an empty stomach, and you drink water after it, that's what causes this sickness to come that has the worms in the liver, and that's for what we use a pennyroyal, your ezer, for, which again is mutra on Shabbos, because regular people, healthy people, do eat your ezer on Shabbos. However, vi'iloi, and if you don't have any pennyroyal to help for these worms in the liver, or if you ate it and it didn't heal you, so what can you do to take care of this sickness? Livli tachli chivarte. You swallow a white cress, and that will help. Ve'iloin, if that doesn't help, or if you don't have that around, lasi betanisa, you should sit in fasting. Ve'lasi bisra shmein, you should bring fatty meat. Ve'lishta agurma, you throw it onto coals. Ve'lamitz garma, you suck out a good piece of meat from a limb from that meat, and you suck out the fat, the lig mechala, and you sip vinegar, and that will take care of these worms that are in your liver. V'yikadam, and then some say no chalaloi, you should not sip the vinegar. Mishum the kosher lekavda, although you're trying to heal the liver to get rid of the worms, however, vinegar is harmful for the liver, therefore don't sip the vinegar. V'iloi, and if that doesn't work, again, or if you can't do that, laisi gurda da asinta, you should bring the bark of a bush. The grida meloy letetei, that was peeled, the bark was peeled from the bush from the top to the downwards. Veloy mitatoy leloy, but not if the bark was peeled from the bottom up. And the reason is because dilma nafki, because maybe the worms are going to come out, aidi pumi, through his mouth. And that is, it comes out the way that it was peeled. If you peel it from the top down, so it comes out through the bottom, through the when a person relieves himself. But if he peels it from the bottom up, it's going to come out through the top, which is going to come out through his mouth. And what you should do is, v'lishalka b'shichra b'shaviv, you should boil it in beer during twilight. Or b'shaviv means the word of a neighbor. It should be boiled in his neighbor's house, that he shouldn't smell the smell of it boiling because it would be harmful for him. Ulamachar nesacharinan l'nikvan nidan, the following day they should close his holes, which means they should close his nostrils that he shouldn't smell it, or it means that they should close his holes and his ears, all his orifices, that the koyach, the strength of this beverage should not leave him. Once it enters, it should stay inside and shouldn't, so to speak, come out through his holes. Velishti, and drink it, and that will help him. And v'chimafni, when he relieves himself, this is getting the worms out, mafni apshicha de dikla, he should relieve himself on the area of the bush, of the tree that had the bark stripped, on that spot where it was stripped, that's where he should relieve himself, and that will take care of the intestinal worms. And as our Mefarshim tell us that, although these things seem a little strange, and that it might not work today, however, these are the things that, although a lot of things change over time, these were the processes that they used to heal the different ailments that they had. So now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah, that another thing that it says was v'sheisin abibra, that you're allowed to drink abibra, that although it's healing, however, since healthy people do drink it, so therefore you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, my abibra. The Gemara says, chametraya. And the Gemara says, my chametraya. It's chutri yechida, it's of an individual stick. That is a piece of wood that grows individually without any branches coming out of it. That type of a tree, if you take the liquid that comes out of that, that's called abibra, that's healthy and it's healing. And however, you're allowed to drink it on Shabbos because healthy people drink it. However, lamai avdila, what do people normally drink it for when they want to use it for healing purposes? So the Gemara says, ligiluya, it's for water that was left uncovered, which has the danger of a snake putting his poison inside of it, which is usher to drink mayim agulim, water that was left uncovered. For that, if a person did drink that, so then you need a healing property that you drink abibra for. V'ilay, and if not, again, if you don't have this abibra, or if it didn't work, so then lesi chamisha klili, so you bring 5 roses, the chamisha kusta deshichi, and 5 cups of beer, v'neshalkinu b'hadedodi, and you boil them together, ade kaiman poka, until it gets to a point that to a measurement of anpik, which is a revius of a log, it's a revius, a quarter of a log, v'nishtin, you drink that, and that will help for this water that was left uncovered, which could have the poison of a snake, that will heal a person from that poison. So Gemara brings a story that demonstrates this, that Imid Rav Achtavai Bar Ami, the mother of Rav Achtavai Bar Ami, Abdilela Hu Gavra, she made this potion, this drink for this person. She made Chad Klila V'Chad Kuska D'Shecha. She took 1 rose and 1 cup of beer. Shulka V'Ishkase. She boiled it and she gave him to drink it. V'Shagr Tanura, and she lit the oven, that is, she warmed it up. The grafti, but then she shoveled it out from the coals that it should cool down a little bit. But isvise levinta begaven, then she put a brick inside the oven that he should sit in it and that he shouldn't burn himself in the oven. Venafak, and then the poison that he had swallowed from the uncovered water that has the poison of the snake inside. That's why we're not supposed to drink uncovered beverages. It came out of him kuhutsayarki, like a green leaf. And that is the poison that had fermented in his body came out in that form. And that's why we see that this helps for the mayim agulim, for uncovered waters that has the poison of a snake inside of it. Another approach, Rav Avyo Amar, Revi Asa the Chelba Me'iza Chivarta. You drink a quarter of a lug of milk from a white goat, that'll help. Rav Hunan by Yehuda Amar, he says, Lesi Esrogi Chalisi. You bring a sweet esrog, V'lechaiki, and you carve out a hole inside the esrog. V'lemal Yadubsha, and you fill in that hole, you fill in honey. And then you put it on top of hot burning coals, that the estric should get cooked with the honey inside of it, and he eats that. That will help him heal him from the poison of the snake that's in this uncovered water. So Rabbi Chanina Amar, Merak Lion B'nei Arboim Yoim, urine that's 40 days old, or it means that it's from the urine of a 40-day-old child, Barzina Lizibur, a Barzina, a small little cup that's called barzina, if you take that amount of urine and you drink that, that will help for someone that gets bitten by a wasp, and that'll heal him. Revi'ol la krabba. A revius is something that, if a revius of a log, is for someone that got bitten by a scorpion, that will heal him. Palga riva ligiluya. Half a revius, it can be used for uncovered waters, again, that we had that has the poison of a snake inside of it. And riva, a quarter of a log, Afil l'chshaf mali helps. It's such a good thing. The urine, it helps even for witchcraft. Amr Biyechen says something else. He says, Anigrin beet soup, v'avnegir. And avnegir is water that had bangari that was cooked inside of it. It's a type of an herb called bangir. So bangir and vitraike and balsam, these 3 items, malu, bein l'giluya, bein l'chshafim, they're all healing properties for uncovered waters and for witchcraft. If you consume either the beet soup or the banger that was cooked, the type of a soup, and this balsam, they help for uncovered waters and for witchcraft. So the Gemara continues on the uncovered waters, which has the danger because of a snake that could put its poison inside of it. Haiman de bolachivya, someone that swallowed a snake. So what should he do? They should give him to eat hops with salt. And they should make him run 3 mil. As the Gemara demonstrates this with the story, Rav Shimi bar Ashi, he saw this person that swallowed a snake. He appeared to the person as a horse rider. And that is, he grabbed him and he started hurting him. And because the reason is the fear and the running of the 3 mil and this kshus, the hops, they diminish a person's strength and it makes him sweat and hot. And that causes the snake to die inside of him. All that energy that's being sapped and all the excess of sweat and energy, these can cause a person to cause the snake inside of him to die. So therefore, he appeared to him like a horse rider. And he made him eat hops with salt. Made him run in front of him 3 mil. And then the snake came out of him, chopped up in small little pieces. Again, because of this energy that he made him utilize, that caused the snake inside of him to die. Ikidami, some say a different version of that story, that Rav Shimi bar Ashi balechibi, he himself swallowed a snake. Asa Eliyahu idam elei kefresh. Eliyahu Navi came and appeared to him like a horse rider, like a strong guy. Ba'uchle kashusu b'milch, and made him eat hops with salt. Va'arate kamei telasimili, made him run in front of him 3 mil. V'nafik minei gubi gubi, and it came out of him, piece of the snake came out like that it died. Similarly, the Gemara says, Haiman de tarki chibi. A person that a snake bit him, Lacey Uber the Khamer Chivarta should bring the embryo of a white donkey, Vilikari, and rip it open, but Loisvey, and he should put it on the place where the snake bit him, and that will help him and heal him. But Vahanimili, when did we say that it'll help? That's only if the mother will be found out to be, after you open it up, that it didn't have a terminal defect. But if it had a terminal defect, that it was a treva, then it will not help this taking the embryo and putting on the bite. However, if it's not a treva, then that will help to heal the person from the snake bite.